All right, maybe we can begin. So my name is Tuomas Häkkilä from VR Group, and I'm here to tell you about a project called Green Route and how does VR Group use OpenTree Planner. And about Green Route project, it was a project that started early last year. And this project was about replacing our current journey search with a new solution, which is OpenTree Planner. And regarding the content, first I will tell you a little bit about the project background and the project objectives, which we had. Then about our OTP implementation, which we have, and then a little bit also about the publishing of new timetables. How do we do it our way? And then I could start the presentation by explaining that on the right side you can see the picture about Green Route. So basically Green Route offers all the routes and the journeys to our customer-facing channels that we sell. So basically we have the webshop, then we have the mobile application, then you can buy tickets from our train conductors. We also have ticket vending machines, customer service agents, and also kiosks which are selling our train tickets. So all of those touch points rely on OpenTree Planner nowadays, that we are able to provide routes and journeys for the customers who want to buy our tickets. Then, as a summary, I will show you a little bit more about the project timeline, how things went, and then a little bit about our future roadmap. Then some statistics of OpenTree Planner so far. And then, as a last slide, I have a couple of points about lessons learned from the project. So basically, the project started early 2024, and it was about replacing old and risky technology. So basically, the previous solution which we had was like from the early 1990s, so it was like 30 years old already, and posed an active risk to our sales operations. So basically, if something would or were to happen, our ticket sales would have stopped. And this, of course, was a risk to our business. So it was also a little bit about clearing out technical debt as well. And then, of course, enabling growth and better customer experience for our customers. So basically, our goals were to have journey planning capabilities that the previous solution could not fulfill, meaning, for example, door-to-door services in the future, real-time train information, and enabling alternative routing if there would be a disruption on the tracks. And also, one key target for the project was to have faster and more flexible time to market or lead time from updates from planning all the way to production for customers. So basically, previously all updates to our distribution or timetables had to go through service provider, which took at least 1 day or even more. So that slowed down our capabilities and our ability to make changes to our current market offering or respond to changes in demand. So then about the implementation. So basically we started the project by doing a requirement specification for the new solution. And then we proceeded with market benchmark of available options in the market in early 2024. And after the market benchmark, OpenTree Planner was chosen as the next future solution for VR early 2024. Then after the benchmark, we proceeded with the proof of concept. So basically we set up our own self-hosted OpenTree Planner instance, and we uploaded some data into it. And then we also kind of iterated the technical details and ironed out technical issues and decided to which like timetable format, for example, we want to have. And then we decided to select NetX Nordic Flavor for the future timetable format. And then after the proof of concept, I would say it was around Q3 last year, we proceeded with the actual implementation project. And so we started to set up environments. We proceeded with some A/B testing, meaning we were comparing routing results from the old system and comparing them to the new one, because it was a migration project. So we, of course, had the like basically the like we had to compare that the routing system or the results won't differ too much in comparison to the old solution. And then we had to apply some VR-specific business rules in our OTP middleware. So basically we did some filtering adjustments, for example, which ones are like our main transfer hubs or stations, if you have transfer connections, so on. And then setting up deployment pipelines, establishing a support model and documentation for the new solution before go live. Then we proceeded with the first production release of OP3 Planner by gradually shifting like request volume from the old solution to the new one. So basically what we did was that when we went live in October 2024, we first shifted like maybe 20% of the overall volume to the new solution, and then 80% would still go into the old one. And then gradually we increased the amount of volume which was forwarded to the new solution. And this enabled us to monitor, first of all, the performance in production, how it works, then gathering feedback from customers and our internal users. And then it gave us the possibility to investigate whatever possible issues we might have had with the new solution without heavily disrupting the ticket sales flow. And finally, the old legacy solution was fully decommissioned in December last year. So since late December 24, all the routing volume has been handled via OP3 Planner. And on the right side, you can see a picture of the current webshop we have. So if you want to go to vr.fi, you can test it out yourself. For now, it's kind of simple solution, I would say, so that we still have like point-to-point routing from different station to another destination station. And basically, we decided that we will increase amount of features and develop new features after the go-live. So the first phase about this OP3 Planner go-live was about replacing the existing solution and then start developing new features on top of it gradually. Then maybe like high-level solution overview, what we currently have. Basically, the infrastructure is based on AWS. And it's self-hosted by VR Group. So we manage it by ourselves, basically. And the architecture is based on microservices, which is mostly, most of the microservices are using Java technology. And then microservices are integrated to our commercial ecosystem using RESTful APIs. For this OP3 Planner, we have a small development team of 2 to 3 persons or developers, and then one product owner. Team size is scalable in the sense that we have developers who are working with multiple projects, but I would say on average we have 2 people, developers working full-time with OP3 Planner, and then one product owner. Basically, how we are organized is that we have a continuous software development model using agile practices. With OP3 Planner, we do Kanban. So basically, we prioritize items to the board as we go. No Scrum or any like heavy agile routines, but instead of using Kanban board and then prioritizing things regarding the business needs. How our support model works is that we have our own development team And then also then third-party cloud operations outside of office hours if we would need any help with AWS core services or anything like that. Environments, we have altogether five different environments for development, testing, and production operations. And then we have multiple different touch points and tools to test and verify new upgrades and timetable updates in those test environments and production before we publish anything to customers or promote updates to production. Basically, all the updates to test environments will automatically flow all the way to customer touch points. But in production, we decided that we want to have this like a control gate that we have a staging phase before we promote anything to production so that we can verify that whatever we want to show to customers is valid. And the implementation is actually first one of the NetEx Nordic flavor in Finland. So that was fun to see and interesting project also in that sense. And then about the NetEx implementation, we have NetEx datasets consisting of six different rail sub-modes. And we also have the possibility to independently update timetables for each different traffic type. And then as a specialty, I think because of the promotion process, we actually also operate multiple data versions in production of the current NetEx dataset. So then about publishing. So basically, here's the flow chart on the right, how it actually goes. There's two ways how to do it. One of them is to have like scheduled publish or manual. But currently, we decided after the go live that so far we want to do it manually. And at some point, I think we will also switch to having scheduled updates on a daily basis. But then what happens is that we have like this aggregation layer, which will combine the NetEx dataset. And then via APIs, we get notified about the new version. Then in GitHub Actions, we have basically the workflow or the pipeline to deploy it. And then on test environment side, everything will go available to touch like endpoints or consumers. But in production, everything will go through this staging process so that we can actually use actual production-like customer touch point to validate the data or have different kind of tools how to validate it. And regarding different traffic types, we operate commuter traffic, long-distance traffic, night trains, and then also replacement buses. And these different traffic types are currently split into multiple rail sub-modes, which can be updated independently. And this was actually the one key requirement. And then that's why we have this kind of like how the dataset is organized, that there's six sub-modes currently for each traffic type. So then one huge improvement with the new publishing process is that previously in the deprecated solution, we used to have like time to market more than at least one day or even more, maybe even two, depending on the day of the week when we had to do changes. But now, last time I checked, the lead time basically from planning to production is about 25 minutes, which is kind of nice improvement. And timetable updates, we do multiple times a day, depending on the season. But let's say maybe 5 to 10 times a day. It's not like anything new, but normal business nowadays. So basically, the timetable dataset is constantly like living. And we do updates on it multiple times a day. Then our latest development is about utilizing Siri estimated timetable module and messages to reflect train cancellation updates from operational systems to commercial ecosystem real time if there are disruptions. So basically, we have shared systems with Fintraffic, who are basically governing the railway operations in Finland. And if there is, let's say, some kind of disruption, that train has to stop. It has departed already from its departure station, but it cannot continue to its final destination, and there's a disruption, we immediately are able to update this information to the sales funnel using Siri estimated timetable that this train has been cancelled and it's no longer possible to purchase ticket anymore to this train because there's a cancellation. Okay, then summary. Here's the project timeline. So basically, already started more than a year ago by concepting the design about our vision for the next generation journey planner. And then around 1 year ago, we had completed already the market benchmark for the new solution, and then the proof of concept phase, and then we set up infrastructure for the new solution, which took about 2 to 3 months, setting up the AWS resources, accounts, disaster recovery, then NetX data sources. And then I would say took about 2 months for us to do the go live preparations, which mainly consisted of like doing A/B testing. So we used basically the old routing system as a reference so that this is how it should look like when we go into production. And we did quite many rounds of A/B testing so that we had scripts. And by those scripts, we were able to find differences between the systems that these kind of routes are new, these have been removed, and these are a little bit same, but still same, but different. So for example, using different transfer stations or things like that. And then go live we did on October 22nd, and then we shifted the volume to open trip planner fully by the end of last year. So it took about like 2.5 months, a little bit less, 2 months, I would say. Then after go live, we have now been doing this Siri estimated timetable development. And currently, we already have this cancellation information in production. So if there are cancellations within the operational day or operational window, those are automatically reflected to our sales tunnels in real time. I think the delay is about like a couple of seconds when the Siri messages are going through in the production. And next, we are working with the delay information so that if there's a delay, the routing, or first of all, customer channels will show that there's actually a delay, so the train will depart delayed. And then if there are transfer connections, the routing is based on the actual schedule, so that if you have a transfer connection, we make sure that you will catch the next possible train if there's a delay. We are like maybe a little bit more moving into this continuous development model so that we still do Kanban agile development, but we aim to do like 3 to 4 new releases of our Open Trip Planner solution each year so that we at least are able to update the latest versions of Open Trip Planner in the production and then slowly start to introduce new features into our solution. And then maybe sometime around next year, not sure exactly about the dates, but we are now next focusing OpenStreetMap full like mobility as a service capabilities and door-to-door routing, so that instead of having like point-to-point routing from station to station, it would be based on street addresses, and we could have door-to-door services so that if you have a train journey, then the first mile and last mile would be by some other operator, maybe even taxi company, whatever, local operator, ferry, whatever. So that basically we would be able to serve the customer so that your journey would be from start to finish instead of from station to station. Then about roadmap, our future roadmap. On the right side, there are like design sketches from the mobile app we have. If you go to wear.fi using your mobile, in the bottom of the page, there should be a link to App Store and Play Store where you can download it. It's called Wear Matkalla. This is like a vision how it will look like later on in the future when we are actually able to do routing door to door. Let's say you could travel here from Pasila to Santa Claus Village, for example, or some other point of interest, and then we would be able to visualize also the first mile and last mile of the journey if it would be by some other operator. Also, on the map, it would be nice to be able to see in the mobile app if you have like transfer connection at Pasila, for example. We should be able then to visualize the indoor routing from different station area to another, and then show you where to go to make it to your transfer connection. Of course, in addition to new transport modes and door-to-door routing capabilities, we would like to also increase the accessibility of our journey. For example, currently we have some kind of understanding of the accessibility capabilities in different station areas, but I think it is somewhat outdated, and currently when we do routing for transfer connections, it's not possible to guarantee that the journey is accessible. This is something we hopefully can utilize also in the future, that we are able to use the station register for the whole of Finland and then also guarantee accessibility for our journeys. Some statistics. It's not much, but this is something I looked up last week. We went live with OpenTrip Planner in Q4 last year, so we don't have one full year yet, but there are at least some statistics. For example, any given time, let's say during the past 24 hours, we have like a little bit more than half a million routing requests coming in to OpenTrip Planner. During last 7 days, the amount is like a little bit less than 4 million requests. Monthly basis, something like 16 million. I think if we look at the year-to-date figure currently, I think in the end of this year, it will be something like maybe 170, 180 million requests. Of course, it's not all like purely passenger traffic or actual like customer requests, but there are technical calls and monitoring and everything going around at the same time, but still they are requests as any other. On the right, maybe looking at the past 7 days, it's one-hour time slice, so you can see that the peak hours, like normally in the morning and afternoon when people leave their work, the spikes are something like maybe 45,000 requests each hour. On the weekends, I think looking at the graph, I would say that 6th of September was probably Saturday, which is maybe the slowest or like quietest day of the week. It's a little bit less, but still the spikes during peak hours or like busy hours are quite high. Okay, lessons learned. What we learned from the project, a couple of things which I discussed with the team and we all kind of agree. First of all, we found out that audit logging between different components is important because especially when troubleshooting unexpected routing results, it can be very complex and time-consuming process if logging capabilities are not sufficient. Especially for our solution which is like interconnected, like of different components and touch points and the architecture which we have, when you, for example, test something in the customer touch point and what you see is not what you are expecting, it's very hard to troubleshoot things if the logging is not on sufficient level. So first of all, we want to see that the timetable data is correct. Then we want to see that the orchestration microservice looks correct when it's orchestrating data transfer objects for the front channels. And then, of course, we want to see that OpenTripLaner is giving out results, what we want. And sometimes we need to adjust the filtering or other business logic, what we have in the OpenTripLaner middleware, to get the results what we expect. And then also, I think, about go-live preparations, the amount of A-B testing needed was quite extensive. So, of course, if the situation would be so that we wouldn't have any reference, if we would like build something totally new or launch totally new service, then it wouldn't take so much time probably. But in this case, at least when we wanted to do like a transparent launch, it was quite time consuming to do the A-B comparison and trying to mitigate all the differences so that the customers won't be unsatisfied because of the routes are dramatically different than what they used to be. And this is, of course, depending on the track infrastructure. So all the routing algorithms might behave a bit differently and offer a different kind of transfer stations. And they all might like prioritize different kind of elements along the journey. So, for example, minimize transfer time or minimize total journey time or that kind of things. So an amount of transfers. Then about requirement specification, I think at least for us, it was a bit unclear how we want to utilize OpenTripLaner features. So basically, at least what we found out that our internal process for publishing timetables is a bit complex. And because of this, we need to be running multiple versions of the NetX dataset simultaneously. So for example, let's say we want to update night train traffic timetables. So first in production, operations, they will flow into staging, and then, of course, then the one in staging will be the latest version of the NetX data, but still the one which is still in production is what the customers see. And so, especially using Siri, that turned out to be difficult, that how can we actually refer to a specific train and date when we have multiple data sets. I think what we found out valuable was participating this developer community, because especially at the time when we were implementing Siri ET protocol, we found out difficulties, and then we found out that NetX Nordic profile has this feature which had just recently been introduced, which is the data service journey, which helped a lot us in implementing Siri, so that we can refer into a specific train and date, even though we have multiple versions of the NetX data in use. And I think at the time, at least, this feature was something which was not officially supported, but we found out that it's safe to run it in production because it's stable enough and will be officially supported very soon. Right, I think that was the end of my presentation. Any questions? Let's start from the front.
So the A-B testing you did you have any tools? You said something about scripting, but did you have some tests to actually compare?
Yeah, how we did that was that we actually came up with a couple of different scripts. So basically, I think from the commercial system, we took like, was it 10 or 20,000 like most popular routes which our customers have been requesting, and then we run those routing requests to both systems, and then we wanted to see that which routes have been removed from OpenTripLaner, which ones are new, like which didn't exist before, and then we wanted to see the routes where we have different transfer stations in between. But departure and arrival destinations are, of course, the same. But then it turned out that we got some routes which were removed by OpenTripLaner and some were totally new. There was actually quite a lot of those routes which were totally new, and we didn't want to like overwhelm the customers by basically offering duplicate versions of the same route. So that's also something we need to filter out. But that's basically how we did it. So running a script against a new microservice.
There were custom scripts.
Yeah. Custom made by ourselves. Yeah. Next. Yeah.
Yeah, you showed a slide with your different staging environments.
Yeah, maybe.
This one.
Oh, this one. Yeah.
So, do I understand this correctly that which is for the OTP version and which is for the beta version, or is this not?
It doesn't apply here. So basically, it's a like high-level overview of all of the environments what we have. So basically, then we need to coordinate the testing so that if we want to first update OpenTree Planner version, for example, then we just focus on that release and then we start testing timetables next. Of course, we have also tools for testing timetable data, but maybe that doesn't apply here.
Yeah, because the way I understood it was that you have different data versions and you also have different OTP versions. So ideally you don't want to test the not in production data version with the not in production OTP version because then you might get different results.
Yeah, that's true. So we don't have like dedicated test environments for testing like new OpenTree Planner versions, but
okay.
Yeah.
So this is just for the data that you're showing?
Yeah, basically, yes. Okay, yes?
So my question is that when you plan to add the MaaS capability into your offering, and then how do you handle the ticketing when for the point-to-point journeys, when it involves a combination of VR trains and transport services by other operators such as FlexBus or local buses?
Yeah, well, this is something we are still like concepting, so we don't have any clear specifications currently yet, but it's something which I would say more realistic will happen sometime next year, that we first of course want to negotiate about partnerships. And then it's always a bit difficult when you think about that if you sell the whole journey, then who is actually responsible for, let's say, if you miss your transfer connection and so on. So, but I unfortunately don't have a clear answer to that right now. It's in concepting phase currently.
Okay, so another question related to your current offering. So how often does your journey planner returns unticketable itineraries?
Not sure if I understand correctly, but maybe can you elaborate the question?
So in some cases, when you load the rail timetable into OpenTree Planner, and then it will return some itineraries which cannot be ticketed. So, like for example, journeys will require a large detour. In this case, you need to use a combination of multiple tickets to make your journey. So how often does it happens in your system?
Hopefully not very often, but that's why we have the staging environment so that we can actually make some quality assurance that we try to make it sure that all the routes we offer are something which are supposed to be available for the customer, if I understand correctly. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question about the accessibility.
Yeah.
Do you have a kind of a filter there so that the person can choose accessible travel?
Yeah, we have. So if you, for example, go to our webshop, where.fi, and when you search for journeys, there's a filter for accessible journeys. But of course, the limitation here is that when we go into door-to-door or like mass partnerships phase, we cannot guarantee about the accessibility of other operators if we don't have the data. So we currently have it for our own trains and station areas, but then if there are other operators involved, then it's more difficult. But for VR journeys, it's possible currently already.
Okay. a very kind of important station and the lifts, you know, work if they work or not. So there has been a lot of problems with the lifts.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of improvements there so that the person can actually go, you know, if the person needs to remove from take a tunnel or some other way to do another platform, so the person needs the lift. So how have you kind of?
Basically, this information we have gotten from FinTraffic, but I'm afraid it's probably not totally up to date. So the idea is that once we are able to utilize the station data from FinTraffic, then we should have up to date information for all station areas within Finland that they are accessible. So
yeah, if I can comment on that, so there's like things about the lifts, the actual like the physical elements which have now like been mapped in the stop place and play level like the first time during this year, and like the system is getting like more bigger and bigger as we go on. But there's also like now we are talking about this kind of production test for the next year. We are getting those live feeds from the elevators and escalators, and we could provide them as a part of the data, like the facility data from the stop place level. So that's what kind of test we are now planning, and hopefully if everything goes well, we can also be able to produce the feeds in some part of next year. So, but at the moment, the scope of the planning of those real-time lift and escalator information, the production tests at the moment are focusing on the metro system of Helsinki.
I think it's critical to cooperate with you, because then if the lift is broken, persons need to have a rerouting, you know. She or he is not able to continue with the original plan. There needs to be, you know, immediately a new.
Yeah, obviously that will be a problem if their journey has already started. So, yeah, we need to be able to handle it.
But is it not possible to just interfere with the traffic in the station to change the platform for such case if it's just meant to communicate to trains,
Yeah, well, I don't know how then, if the journey has already started, how do we communicate? I don't know.
I think this guy should come to us.
Yeah, we are actually planning on implementing this into OTP, that we can use elevator status information on routing. So we want to provide the elevator status with the CPT and then modify the routing OTP so that broken elevators are not taken into account anymore. I guess if the route is already on route, then you would have to maybe do another routing request or something to check if it's still working, something like that. But this is probably a second step. So we would first need to get the real-time elevator information into OTP.
But if we will get this eventually into Siri, it will be already an improvement. So that,
There's also another kind of solution while we are waiting for the technological aspect to work. So it's also possible to create, as there already is some kind of services. So there is an assistant service made to provide you, for example, helping you with the luggages or such thing. And if it happens that that the lift or the elevator is broken, so in that case there should be a possibility to negotiate so that they will help you, you know, to the right platform. Because there are also other roads, but they are very long way to go. and they are very steep, so that's one way also to solve accessibility matters.
Yeah, of course, that would require people being available then to help with the transfer, but yeah. Okay, one more question.
You use OTP, but are there like plans to contribute any features?
Contribute to OTP project or?
Yeah.
Currently, probably not. Of course, that might change. But I would say that currently, I think the accessibility side of things is probably something which we are mostly interested in currently, so that we are able to improve that. And let's see in the future if there would be some other feature requests where we could help, then maybe, of course, could be possible that we would actually start contributing to the project, but no active plans so far.
Yeah.
Okay, from the middle. Yeah.
Simple question. Do you know how many OTP instances you run on a busy day?
It's a tough technical question. Not sure. Maybe I can link you with our technical architect and you will find answers. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes.
There was on your roadmap, there was like an item on the future, near future development was MaaS plus OSM. And what you are meaning about that OSM at your roadmap?
Basically, I referred to the indoor routing capabilities, so that when you have, let's say, if you think about Pasila station, it's quite big, and the distances between station areas are quite long and complex, so those kind of things would be nice to visualize with OTP, so that this is the route.
Yeah, it's like a similar kind of like a item that also we are currently working on, so there could be like a place of cooperation on the indoor navigation.
That's definitely. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, something that struck me, and maybe that's a question also for some of the folks in the audience who might know. Is there a particular reason why you chose to use AWS or as opposed to another cloud provider, like European cloud provider, for instance?
Well, I would say that the reason which contributed the most was the fact that our commercial ecosystem and the microservices we have related there are mainly all of them are in AWS already. So, yeah. So that's basically was chosen already in that sense. Yeah. Yes.
So in my previous job, so some of our work was to remove infrastructure from AWS. And then to migrate them to our own metal because AWS is very expensive. So have you considered using your own metal instead of AWS?
Currently, I would say no. It's of course not my responsibility entirely, but I would say that currently we have decided to go with AWS because of like, for example, disaster recovery capabilities, and then we have a third-party cloud services operator outside of office hours and things like that. So that's how we are organized. And no plans currently to think about any other solutions. I know for a fact that we also have some services in Azure cloud, but the commercial ecosystem for passenger traffic is mainly in AWS.
Okay.